So, Father, I want to thank you for John. Thank you for his love of you. And I just pray now that the words that you want to impart to us as a congregation and a community here at Totnes comes from what John is talking to us about now. Amen.
This morning, we're going to continue with the book of Acts. And we're going to read about the incredible story of Peter and Cornelius in Acts chapter 9, verses 32 onwards. Cornelius is a real inspiration to me because one of my middle names is Cornelius. So throughout my Christian life, he's really been an example. So there you go. I want to ask each one of us to open our hearts, our spirits, and our minds to what God wants to talk to us about, and to respond to him. Can I ask Rachel to come and read the scriptures? Then there'll be just one after the other. Yes, yeah. Please.
Sorry. Is that a Samsung device?
No, it's not.
We're starting at Acts 10, chapter 10, actually, from verse 1. At Caesarea, there is a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, called Peter. He is staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who'd spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter. Kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Peter went down and said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? Verse 32 to 48. Cornelius says, So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened through the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
What's that on? Yeah. Okay. Right. Where we are born and the culture we grow up in deeply impacts us. Some of our culture is godly. Some isn't. But as we grow up in, as you grow up in your culture, you subconsciously take on thoughts and ideas that in that culture. Most of you are English, and I really pity you because you were born. You were born in England, right? That's who you are. Here in Acts, we have two people from two different cultures. Peter, a Jewish church leader, and Cornelius, a Roman. He wasn't just any old Roman. He was a commander of a regiment of the occupying forces that occupied Israel. And I looked on a map. Both Caesarea and Joppa are on the coast. part of Israel, or then Israel. How do you think Cornelius viewed the Jews? What, how do you think Peter viewed Cornelius or the Romans? Do you think there was any love lost between the Jews and the Romans? But what they didn't, what these two men didn't know, was that both of them prayed to God. And they believed in the same God. They didn't know that. Did you know that it can be a life-changing experience to spend time with God? Do you know that? Do you spend time with God? Or are you too busy? That's a question. When you do, the supernatural often happens. When Cornelius prayed, he had a vision of an angel. An angel, not one on a Christmas tree, or a little baby with fat baby with wings. That's not an angel. A powerful angel came and spoke to him. When Peter prayed, what happened? He saw a sheet. He had a vision of a sheet with various animals, reptiles, and birds coming down from heaven. That just happened when these two guys prayed. God, the Father, loved both these men equally. Can I have the next slide, please? John chapter 3, verse 16. Who can quote John chapter 3, 16? Not all at once, please. Right. It says this. There you go. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Have you thought of it? Every person that has ever lived, no matter what they do, Putin, Hitler, Stalin, Roman Empire, emperors, every person, Jesus loved them. God loved them so much that Jesus came and died for them, for us. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 to 35. This is what Rachel just read earlier. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. No matter what you do, no matter what the person does, if their heart is open to God and if they seek God, Jesus' free gift is for them. And even if you don't, the gift is still available. We need to be willing in our spirits to engage with God. then God can talk to us and change our lives, as he did these two guys. Before the angel spoke to Cornelius, he might have heard about Peter. Before Peter had the vision of a sheet full of all sorts of animals and birds, he probably saw Cornelius as an enemy. Do you think that's plausible? Thank you. We all have preconceived ideas about people from what we hear about them, or if they've hurt us. And if somebody hurt me, what do I think of it? It affects us. This is reality. This isn't some theory or theological jargon. Right? There's a third person I briefly want to talk about called Ananias. This guy, I just want to talk about one of his encounters in the Bible. And if you were here, I think last Sunday or the Sunday before, you heard about Paul's conversion, right? Am I right? Can you come and read, Rachel, the next slide, please?
Yeah.
Acts 9, verse 10. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him much how he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength.
A supernatural invention by God can change our ideas and thinking. Not just a little bit, it can be life-changing. But we need to be willing to spend time with God. Ananias was an unknown disciple. This is the only time in the Bible, or anywhere I think, that we hear his name. And he was terrified. Here God said to him, "Go and pray for this man." He knew Saul. Peter was a Jew. Gentiles and Jews don't mix. Jews, God gave in the Old Testament commandments about what animals do. Clean and unclean animals. And here, this vision, he had a vision of a sheep coming down with all sorts of animals, clean and unclean, and God said, eat. Both Ananias and Peter argued with God, or discussed. And God listened. God didn't say, shut up, do what you're told. God allowed them to work through the issues. God does that with us as well. If we've got questions, hey, have you ever seen Jesus' shoulders? They groaned. My argument won't put a dent on Jesus. He can handle my argument. And I've had some. And I lose every time. If I'm obedient. So, even though we are scared, or it's uncomfortable, or God asks us to do something that is outside of our belief system or comfort zone, if our hearts are open, that's all God asks. I grew up, I'm a South African. You got it? Well, there you go. I didn't choose it, it just happened. I'm a South African. I grew up in a racist society. I grew up in a white culture. You guys grew up in an English culture. And my world views, I didn't know anything else. I grew up with the white culture and how people treat people from other cultures, and I thought that was normal because I didn't know anything else. I won't go into, that's all I want to say. But when I was 22, in 1982, I joined a mission organization called Youth of the Mission, or YWAM, the biggest mission organization in the world. And God started talking to me. We had, the way YWAM works, if you do a training course, is you do 3 months of practical, or no, 3 months of theory, and then 3 months of outreach. And I went to Zimbabwe for 3 months, to the YWAM base in Zimbabwe, which was a farm, near Bulawayo. And there wasn't much space accommodation-wise, so we slept in a tent. 6 of us just crammed into the tent just to sleep. 5 white guys, 1 black. And I was one of the whites, obviously. At that time, somebody gave me a book by Martin Luther King. And I started reading it. And I was challenged. Not only what he wrote in the book, but here I'm sleeping for the first time of my life next to someone from another culture. In 1983, I felt God call me to work with the YWAM team in Soweto, which is one of the most radical townships in Africa. It was a small team, basically myself and my boss. My boss was a black pastor. Now, in the 1980s, it was virtually unheard of for a white person to have a black boss. Now, it's different since the ANC took over. But back then, it wasn't. And God taught me through, I went through them all. But God taught me how to walk humbly, how to interact with people from another culture. Humbly, and how to see them, how to see someone from another culture on the same level. Not looking down or looking up. I was one guy, one white person amongst thousands of black families. So I was a complete minority. And as I listened, as I spent time with God, read the Bible and praying and just sitting with God, God started challenging or continue to challenge my views and change them. And as I said, it was hard, it was tough. When God intervened in the lives of Ananias, Cornelius, and Peter, they didn't ignore it. But they obeyed. And they did what they felt God told them to do. God loves and knows each of us personally. And He wants to free us from demonic chains and sin that are keeping us, and the sins that we can't overcome. That's the love of Jesus for us. It's only as Cornelius, his family and his friends, listened to Peter, and their heart was open to listen to this Jew talk to them about the death and resurrection of Jesus, that the power that's in His name, in the name of Jesus, to free them, that the Holy Spirit came on them. And they were baptized and were open for God to change their lives. My challenge this morning is this: make time to spend with God. Be intentional. I know it's hard with our busy lives. It's easy just to get up and carry on with the lives. But be intentional to spend time with God. We need to sit quietly with Him and just ask. Don't come with the shopping list. Just ask God what you want to say to Him. If you get a phone call, right, on your mobile? Can you answer it? How do you know the voice on the other side of the person that you're talking to? Easy, you dial the number and you recognize the voice. It's the same with God. You don't see the person on the other side of your mobile. The mobile's the thing. We don't see God. But if I talk to you, Chris, I have a conversation to you, with you, will Dave chip in? No. He might, but I'll ask him to just wait until we finish. We have a conversation. It's the same with God. If I talk to God, the thoughts and ideas that come into your mind is gone. It's nobody else, it's gone. If you feel uncomfortable in your spirit, that's God saying, no, that's not me. God can speak to us. God can supernaturally intervene in our lives in the way that He wants to. So I want to challenge you. Make time for God.